Have you ever wondered what sets those apart who crumble under the weight of failure from those who emerge from it even stronger? Today, we're going to be talking about the power of perseverance, the steadfast determination to rise no matter how many times you've fallen. We're going to take a look at what failure is and how it might actually be the secret weapon to achieving success. So don't go anywhere. That's what's coming up on Making Room. What's up, everyone, and welcome to the Making Room podcast, where we clear out the clutter and make more room for God to move in our lives. I'm your host, Paul Radke, and thank you for joining me in today's episode as we discuss failure. Now, this for me has to be like the worst F word possible. I do not want to hear that I've failed. I can only think of one other F word, and that's fear, that could possibly be worse than failure. But failure is just something that nobody wants to really experience. Nobody wants to fail. But yet, failure is a major part of life. And none of us learn anything without failing. None of us succeed without failing at some point. Failure is not going anywhere. So we better come to terms with it. And so today we're going to be discussing how to overcome failure. Because from the time that we are babies to the time that we die, we're going to experience it in some form. I mean, just think about it from when you were your youngest age and like learning to walk, right? Nobody learns to walk without falling and failing repeatedly. You fall on your butt more times than anybody can count, but then you get back up and you do it again. Same thing happens when we're learning to speak. We learn words and we say them incorrectly. We use them in the wrong places in a sentence. I have a goddaughter who she just turned 3. And for the past year, year and a half, she's discovered she loves chocolate, but could not say chocolate. She called it Chop It. And just recently, she started calling it chocolate, and the family's devastated. You know, we loved hearing her cute little voice call it Chop It. But she had to fail at saying chocolate repeatedly before she actually learned to say chocolate correctly. And it's the same thing for almost every avenue of life. If we want to get better at our jobs, we're going to have to fail in some regard. If we want to get better at relationships, we're going to fail at some point. If we want to get better at anything, we're going to have to risk failure. It says this in James chapter 1. It says, "Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, knowing that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. And let perseverance have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing." It's an incredible verse, and it speaks directly to this issue. To count it all joy when you meet trials of various kinds. Now, whether that's persecution in the early church like they were experiencing, or maybe mistakes that you've made, or mistakes that other people have made that are affecting you, no matter what it is that the trial is, count it all joy, knowing that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. And perseverance is greatly needed when learning to overcome failure. In society today, we have this idea of perfection being this environment in which nothing goes wrong and everything is just right and nobody makes mistakes. And I don't say things the wrong way and I don't do things the wrong way. But in reality, that idea of perfection is nothing but an illusion. True, genuine perfection is a result of perseverance. True, genuine perfection is a result of perseverance. It means you've gone through the difficulty, you've experienced the failure, you've made the mistakes, you've gone through the hardship, and the testing of your faith in those areas produced a steadfastness and a perseverance. Because it's when we learn to persevere, when we learn to endure difficulty, our own mistakes, our own failures, our own mess-ups, that we actually learn to keep pushing forward and achieve perfection. I learned to walk perfectly by falling down a whole lot. I learned to speak well by making mistakes frequently on what I would say. I remember a time when I had joined the youth worship team at our church, and I had just started to write songs, and me and the guitar player were kind of writing songs together at the time. And we were in this really nice service, at the end of service, in a prayer time, kind of setting the tone with the music, nice worship music. If you've been in church, you know what I'm talking about. And I get this idea that now is the time to break out one of the new songs we've just written. And so I kind of get everybody else's attention and let them know I'm going to kind of go off cuff. And so they need to follow me. And I start to play this song. And when I go to sing it, I cannot find the key. I cannot find like the root key of this song for the melody line. But I just keep singing. Like I can't stop. I've already committed to it. And I wind up singing the entire song out of tune. I mean, the whole thing from beginning to the end. I kept thinking that you're going to get this. You're going to get the key in just a second. Just keep on going. It's going to come to you. It never came to me. And let me tell you, that altar call ended really quickly. I mean, youth did not go long that night. It ended right on time because I absolutely killed it, but not in the good way. I just destroyed that song, sang it completely out of key. And it was, I mean, I was so embarrassed. I was humiliated. I couldn't believe that. I mean, I was considered at this point to be a pretty good piano player, pretty good singer. So it just was crumbling to have failed in such a public way at such a crucial time of the service. I mean, it was awful. It was humiliating. But I had to come up with the courage to get back on the stage eventually and lead in worship again. I had failed miserably, no doubt about it. I had definitely fallen flat on my face, but I had to pull myself together and get back up and try it again. And this could be one of the most difficult things about failing is that we've got to forgive ourselves. You've got to forgive yourself after you've failed. A lot of us have grown up in environments where it's not okay to fail, where when you fail, you're ridiculed for it, you're shamed for it, you're punished for it, where it's never looked at as an opportunity to learn something and to do better next time. And when you grow up in that environment, and society as a whole kind of creates that environment, right? We don't really celebrate failure very often in society. So when you have that mindset, your instinct is just to avoid failure at all cost, right? No matter what I do, just don't fail. Don't even try until you're sure that you won't fail at it. But here's the thing about that, is that people who are afraid to fail rarely find the courage to succeed. People who are afraid to fail rarely find the courage to succeed. If you go through the rest of your life fearing failure, you never take a risk, you never go into an area of your life where you might not get it right, your chances of success are greatly diminished. Because it is when we fail that we learn. Failure is probably the best tool that we have to learn. So we've got to understand that failure is necessary and that we have permission to fail. You are allowed to fail. You're allowed to make mistakes. You're allowed to try something new and it not work out. And the only thing you can do is to learn from that so that the next time you do a better job at it. If you never give yourself permission to fail, then you'll never get back up to succeed. You've got to allow yourself to fail because your failure does not define who you are. I know we kind of do this a lot with failure. If we fail math, we say, oh, we're bad at math. If we fail at a few relationships, we go, oh, well, we're bad at relationships. Thing about math and relationships and most other parts of life is that they're all just learned skills. Right. If I fail at math, all I have to do is learn math and then I can be good at math. That I failed at math at one time does not mean that I will be bad at math forever. It just means I'm bad at math right now. If I fail at a relationship, it doesn't make me bad at relationships. It just means that I've got some things to figure out. I've got some lessons I need to learn. I might need to learn how to pick better relationships, or I might need to get better at being in relationships. Whatever the cause is, I don't have to be bad at relationships forever just because I failed a few times. Whatever you failed at does not define who you are. It's just a skill that you need to learn. If you failed at your new job, then you just need to learn the skill of being good at your new job. If you failed at being a parent, you just need to learn some skills on being a better parent. You're not a bad parent. You just have some more things to learn. We've all got more things to learn in life. If we're not continually learning, then we are digressing, right? We've got to continue to have this foundation of learning something new frequently and often. And how am I supposed to learn if I'm too afraid to fail? And this can be the hardest part for many of us. It's hard getting over the emotional hurdles of having failed and getting over the emotions of being humiliated and embarrassed or being talked about. Some of the times it's in very public spaces, like me failing at finding the right key to the song I was singing in the youth group. So we have to remember that our failures do not define who we are, but what happens next just might. Your failure does not define who you are, but what happens next after you failed very well might define who you are. In Proverbs chapter 24, it says, though a righteous man falls seven times, he gets back up. I love that verse. I love that verse because it implies that even righteous people fall, and they don't just fall once or twice or three times, but they fall repeatedly. And what makes them righteous is not the fact that they haven't fallen, but the fact that they got back up. Your failure does not define who you are, but what you do after your failure just might define who you are. Are you the kind of person that fails and then gets back up? Do you fall off the horse and then get back up on the horse as quickly as possible? Or do you stay down? Falling down does not make you a failure, but staying down does. We have got to get back up after we've fallen. Because if we just stay down, if we just accept defeat, then yeah, we will have failed. But if we get back up, if we try again, then there is no limit to what we can achieve. Now, you may have failed 1,000 different ways, but if that 1,000 different ways of failure brings you to one giant success, then it was totally worth the cost, right? Right? If I failed 1,000 different ways, but then I found out how to do it, I figured it out, and now I'm really good at it, all the failure was worth it because now I'm a success. I love what Thomas Edison said about failing to make a light bulb repeatedly. He said, I didn't fail. I just found 10,000 ways not to make a light bulb. He didn't judge himself or define himself by the amount of times he failed at making the light bulb. Instead, he judged himself by the success of making the light bulb. And whatever it is that you're failing at today, if you accept defeat and you just lay down, well, then yes, you will have failed at it and you'll never get good at it. But if you get back up and try again, there's no limit to what you can achieve. So you failed at a few relationships. Get back up and try again. So you failed at your math class. Get back up and try again. So you failed at your new job. Get back up and try again. As I said at the beginning of this episode, failure is our greatest opportunity for learning. It's when we fail that we have the greatest chance of figuring out what we did wrong, right? Why did the relationship fall apart? Now's a great time to figure that out. Why did I fail my math test? Now's a great time to figure out the right answers. Why did I fail at my new job? Why was I not good at being a leader? Why did people not want to follow? Failure provides an amazing opportunity to find out where we went wrong and how to correct it. And once we figure out how to correct it, then we're no longer bad at that thing. I'm good at it, right? I was bad at 2 plus 2 when I thought it equaled 5, but now that I know 2 plus 2 equals 4, I'm good at it. I was bad at leadership when I thought it was all about me. I'm good at leadership now that I found out it's nothing to do with me. It's to do with everybody else. Our failures do not define us as long as we continue to push forward and to learn from our mistakes. So what have you failed at? What have you tried numerous times and you just keep on falling flat on your face? Well, it could be that you need to dig a little deeper, right? If you've failed at 10 different relationships, chances are you might need to dig a little deeper as to why these relationships are failing. Maybe you're just really bad at picking them. Or maybe there's some things in you that need to change. Maybe you need to get into counseling. Maybe you need to talk to a therapist and dig up some of the things that could be causing trouble in your relationships. So you failed the same math test 10, 20 times. Well, you might need to get into a study group. You might need to get some tutoring on the side from your teacher. No matter what it is you failed at, there is a route to becoming successful at it as long as we don't give up. As long as we don't fall down and stay down, but we are committed to getting back up, learning from our mistakes, and trying again. And what I'm learning more and more is the quicker I get back up after a failure, the more quickly I will succeed. If I fail, get back up, and immediately try again, and fail and learn from my mistake and get back up and try again, the quicker I can make that process, the more rapidly I will find success. So I recently read about this professor who had a photography class, and he split the class in two, and he said, all right, this semester, this half of the class is going to be graded by the number of good photos that you take. The more good photos you take, the better grade you'll get. So like 100 good photos, an A, 90 good photos, a B, but just take as many photos as you can, and that's how you're going to be graded. The other half of the class, he said, I want you to take one perfect photo. This whole semester, you have one job. That's to take the perfect photo and turn it in. And the more perfect the photo, the higher grade you're going to have. So as soon as class was over, the group that had been told to take as many photos as possible went to work immediately. They started taking photos everywhere they could, right? There was no rhyme or reason to it necessarily. They just started snapping photos, trying to get as many good photos as possible. Whereas the other group started to study what makes a perfect photo. What is the best process for achieving the perfect photo? What's the best camera for the perfect photo? And went through this whole very methodical approach to taking that one perfect picture. And this is what the professor figured out at the end of the semester. He got all the photos back from all the students, and as he was going through them, he found out that it was the students that took the most photographs that actually had the most perfect photos in their repertoire. Whereas the students that took one photograph for the entire semester, all of their photographs were very mediocre. Because while this first group was out taking as many photos as they could and learning as they went along and just having fun and doing the process over and over and over, the other group was in their heads, overthinking it, learning about, you know, darkroom processes and which one is the best, which cameras are the best. They had this very logical approach to how they should go about it, but only took one photograph and it resulted in mediocrity. Whereas the other group just took a ton of photos and came up with some pretty impressive results. This is what I take away from that study, is that the more often I do something, whether I'm failing or succeeding, if I would just continue with the process, if I will just continue pushing forward, if when I mess up, I'll just get back up and try again, then I will eventually get to a place where I have learned a whole lot without even realizing it, and I will eventually find success. But if my fear of failure keeps me from going out and doing the things I need to be doing, if I'm just really in my head and I'm just trying not to mess up and I just don't want to screw it up, I want it to be perfect, the chances that it's going to come across as mediocre and not very good are really increased. Now, this is not at all meant to be relationship advice. I'm not telling you to go out and try 100 different marriages until you find the right one. But I am saying that there are aspects of life where repeated failure is really necessary. So no, you shouldn't try 100 different relationships to find that first perfect one. But maybe you should make 100 different mistakes in how to relate to other people so that you can learn how to relate to them more appropriately. Something where I have let my failures define me is I thought I wasn't a very good people person. Just not very good at small talk and shooting the breeze and building relationships. And I've come to realize that that's not true. I have just not learned the skill of small talk. It's just a communication skill. I have not learned the skill of building relationships at parties and meet and greets and networking. And so now I am working to increase and level up on that skill. What area of your life have you allowed for your failure to define who you are? What is it that's in your head right now where you say, I am not this, I am not good at this or that? I guarantee you it's something that you could be good at if you just dedicate enough time to it. If you take the time to learn from the mistakes you've made and then to go on to make new ones. Because the truth is, failure is going to continue to come up, right? There's going to be no avoiding it. And let me just say this, that avoiding failure will never be a strategy for success. You're never going to find success by just avoiding failure. You're going to have to take risk. And anytime there's a risk, there's bound to be a failure. So be prepared right now. If you failed and you're having to get back up, just know that as you move along and you learn from your mistakes, failure's bound to happen again. So give yourself permission to fail. And when you've fallen down, get back up, learn from your mistakes, and continue pursuing whatever it is you're trying to achieve. Whether it's a better relationship, or whether it's a better education, or whether it's a promotion at your job, or whether it's to be a better parent at home, whatever avenue you're trying to succeed at, know that failure's gonna be part of the process. It's okay, it's meant to be this way, and the more quickly you learn from your mistakes and repeat that process again and again, the more quickly you're going to succeed. It says this in James chapter 5, "We consider them blessed who remained steadfast." So remain steadfast at whatever goal you're trying to succeed, whether it's a deeper relationship with God or a deeper relationship with your spouse. Continue pushing forward, knowing that you will succeed as you continue to get back up. Thank you so much for watching today. I hope that you got a lot of value out of this episode. If you did, do me one gigantic favor and share this with a friend or a family member who might need to hear it. It will help this show to grow, and I will appreciate it very much. Love you all, and I look forward to being with you again next week as we continue making room.